All right, the book of 2 Samuel tonight will be in 2 Samuel chapter number 15, 2 Samuel chapter number 15, and it's already been a good day, and looking forward to what God has for us this evening. And the message I'm going to preach, obviously I put it together. If I put it together, then at some point I thought I was going to preach it, but sometimes I'm surprised at what God would have me bring, because I don't know what God knows. Think about that. I know some of you are shocked, you know. I don't know what God knows. And God will use His Word to do something in my heart. He gives me something. And sometimes He gives me something and is like, oh yeah, they're going to get this too. Because I know if it helps me, it's going to help you. But then, you know, as a pastor, there are things that I need that are specific to me that I can use and apply as a pastor. And so when the Lord put this message and this thought on my heart, and He would minister to me, and I didn't understand why He would have me put into a message, but then seeing some things that are coming in the new year and some things that we want to try and accomplish for Him, I like having visitors in church. I like having new people. I like seeing our Sunday school classes grow. I like having to call to have a school called and say, we need more rooms. I like all of that. And I want it to keep going. And so we're going to do some things with the Lord's help next year. And so I want us to be ready for that. And so I'm saying all that to say, let's look at 2 Samuel 15. Sometimes, well, let me just, as a pastor and as a Christian, this applies, but certainly as a pastor, you have a sense of the spiritual battle that takes place. There are, if I can put it like this, it's what goes on behind the curtain. What I've tried to have us have a mindset, even politically, it's like, well, this pollster and this platform says, no, you can't look at all that. You have to understand this is a spiritual world. And there are spiritual forces at play that we cannot see. That's why you have to filter world events through the Word of God. And so as you see the spiritual world, spiritual battle taking place, and sometimes you'll say to yourself, there's just evil all around. And you can just feel the evil assembling all around. And then you think of, well, what are we supposed to do about that? And then my mind comes to a Bible character named David. And David could certainly sympathize when evil assembled around him. Now, I'm working on a study on the life of King David, and at some point I'll either put it in a book or teach it or both. Why did the devil try and stop David? Well, you know, the Messiah comes from the seed of David. And can I just say to you and I tonight, you don't know who your great-great-great-grandchild is going to be. You don't know how God's going to use them. You don't know what person is going to, what little boy, what little girl, what family is going to get reached in the next year or two. Why are we going through this? Why am I? Well, there's bigger things at play than you getting out at before 12:30 on Sunday morning. There's bigger things at play than that. So I want us to look at 2 Samuel chapter 15. I'm going to read one verse of Scripture tonight, verse 12. And I was thinking of David and all the things that he had to go through. And when I was a child, you hear of David. You know, David slew the bear. That sounds pretty awesome. David slew a lion. That sounds pretty awesome. David slew the giant. That sounds really awesome. And on top of that, David got to be anointed king. God chose David over his best friend. That sounds pretty awesome. And then you just think of that as like, wow, David must have had the perfect life. David had no problems. Then you actually read the life of David, and you get past David and Goliath. David had a lot of problems. David had a lot of battles. Kind of summarize this, I think, in verse 12. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor, from his city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong. And the people increased continually with Absalom. If you know the story of David, you know that his son Absalom led a revolt, a revolution against his father. And we find here in this verse, and you say, well, Pastor, I've been done wrong. Things have been, how would you like for your son to work with it, your best friend to overthrow the kingdom? You say, well, you know, you say, well, that this could never happen, and it may not be a son, but it sometimes those things happen. And so this has got the simple title this night, and I'll move through it fairly quickly, and but I just entitled this Evil All Around. Evil All Around. Father, help us tonight. I pray that you'd accomplish what you want to accomplish with this message this evening. May I say just what needs to be said. And may you strengthen your church. Help your church tonight. Make us stronger so that we can stand for you. Make us stronger so that we can work more for you. Make us stronger so we can reach more people for you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. David was a man after God's own heart. You don't have to take my word for it. You can take God's word for it. God tells us in Scripture that's who David was. David was a man after his own heart. David was flesh and blood, and David had faults and failures and all of those things, but God still, knowing his imperfection, knowing his failings and shortcomings, still called him a man after his own heart. David, though, lived much of his life surrounded by evil. And you would say, well, why is that? Why couldn't God do something about that? And certainly God protected him from it, but we're going to see the bigger picture, I believe, tonight. From the day Samuel anointed him, David stepped into a life marked by calling, conflict, and constant spiritual warfare. Well, it's great to be the anointed king. Well, guess what? Everybody's going to try and kill you now. It's not going to be easy for you now. There's always going to be conflict. There's always going to be constant spiritual warfare. And this is important for you and I because there's many new Christians or you've just recently said, you know, I want to do more for God. I'll take a Sunday school class. Pastor, can I serve somewhere? Or you just made that big commitment of some personal things in your life, some decisions you made. And you're like, now that I have surrendered and God has shown me the way, everything's going to be so easy now. Well, many responded when I said that because they made those decisions years ago when they learned that that's when the real battle starts. See, Christ went to Calvary and he defeated death and hell and his finished work on Calvary. So therefore, salvation is free and your sins have been paid for. He fought and won that battle, and when you got saved, I mean, the devil does everything he can to keep us from trusting Christ. Then after we're saved, he knows our soul is safe and secure, but he wants to ruin our life and keep us from fully serving God. And then when God begins to use us, he is going to battle us because he doesn't want God to use us to reach the souls of men. See, David was anointed, but he was also hunted. He was loved by God, but hated by men. He was even called to lead, but attacked by those closest to him. He served faithfully, but was betrayed by his trusted companions. You think of how faithful David was to Saul, and yet he had people who, like Ahithophel, who did not serve him faithfully. But David shows us something vital. Evil often assembles around whatever God is raising up. David was anointed and was the man after God's own heart, and trouble was always around him. See, when God puts his hand on a man, the enemy puts the target on his back. When God promotes, Satan provokes. When God blesses a church, the forces of evil will assemble against it. And see, this is something that will help us. You say, Pastor, why do we have opposition from time to time? Well, did we expect any different? Pastor, why? It seems so easy for these kind of churches. There's a reason. They're going the same way as the devil. They're not facing any opposition. This is important for you and I to understand. It's like, I'm excited. I don't know if you can tell. I'm excited about this 12 Stones ministry. But when I decided to start it, I was very aware that the moment that we say that we're going to try and use God's word to get people out of the devil's bondage, do we not think that God, if as he blesses, do we not think that the devil is going to oppose and fight to keep them? That's the purpose of this message tonight, is to remind us that the more we do for God, the more Satan is going to oppose us. The more you, mom and dad, you want to raise that child, those children for him, you want to give them perhaps something you did not have, let me tell you something, the devil is going to fight you. You need to be aware of that. See, David shows us this. See, David faced evil from Saul, whose jealousy burned like a wildfire. From Goliath, who mocked the armies of the living God. From the Philistines, who desired his destruction. From Absalom, his own son, who broke his heart and stole the kingdom. From Ahithophel, his counselor, whose betrayal cut the deepest. From Shimei, you remember Shimei, whose curses stung as David walked in humility and pain. Yet in spite of all of these things, in spite of this list of trials in David's life, one thing is true, God never left him. Evil surrounded him, but it never conquered him. It assembled, but it never prevailed. Think of David. David's the anointed king. You know the story. He has to flee his home. He's running from Saul. He can't even find a respite with the enemy. And the enemy, the Philistines, say, you can't be with us because if we go to battle, you'll turn against us. He comes back to Ziklag, which I've preached on many times. It's been burned down. Another enemy comes in. He can't even find respite with the enemy. You ever feel that way as a Christian? Everywhere I turn, it just seems like. Let me give us some things tonight. Let me just remind us before I get into the outline. If you're walking with God, leading your home, you're serving in the church, standing for truth, raising your family for God, you can expect that evil will assemble around you. And let me just warn you, sometimes it will come in the places that hurts the most. Sometimes it will come in the areas you never saw coming. Not because God has forsaken you, but because God has favored you. See, when you do right, God blesses you. See, God has a lot of children, and anybody who is saved is a child of God, but they don't all honor their father. God still loves them, and they're still saved, but if you honor him, he's going to bless you. He's going to acknowledge you. He's going to do things for you. And when that happens, you can become the target. A church like ours, there used to be a lot of churches like ours. We had visitors in the service this morning that drove all the way across the bridge because they were looking for a conservative church. And I was talking to them afterwards. I said, well, did you find it? There used to be one everywhere. And the more that a group of people says, let's do something for God, it's going to get the attention of evil. Now, I'm not saying this because there's anything new today that came up in the last 24 hours. This is just the way it is for God's people. Evil never sleeps. Let me give some observations and maybe some help to us tonight and see what God does. Let me say, number one, evil surrounds the anointed, those with purpose. Every parent that's rearing children for the Lord, God has set you apart to do that. Evil is going to surround you. Now, when you go home, I don't want you looking into bushes for it. That's not what I'm talking about. But it will surround you because you have a purpose to rear those children for God's glory, not your glory. Let me just insert that, mom, that child's not for you. He's for God. She's for God. Dad, same thing. But the evil does not want them. They don't want another generation. If we have been for decades raising up another generation through our school, doesn't it make sense that that's where the devil would attack? If I can change it, I can wake the grumpy man that's the pastor out. He's going to die at some point. And there won't be another generation. If I can distract, am I making sense tonight? See, we know David was anointed. The scripture tells us in 1 Samuel 16 through 18 of David's anointing. And after he was anointed, let me just give you some practical things. I'll run through this pretty quickly. Evil was jealous of his favor. This was exhibited in Saul. You know, David had done nothing wrong except be blessed. When Saul heard the song, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. I've often said, thousands are pretty cool. Slaying thousands, that's pretty big deal. And David is 10,000s. Don't get envious or jealous because God blesses somebody with 10,000s. He didn't have to bless us with thousands. See, jealousy is often the first face of evil. And let me just warn us that you can get jealous of what's going on in somebody else's life and what's going on in somebody else's home. Jealousy is often the first face of evil. Jealousy is worse than we think it is. Because evil hates what God elevates. Saul was not angry at David's wrongdoing. He was angry at David's blessings. And this is good for us because many times as Christians we misunderstand our opposition. We say, well, there must be something wrong because conflict is here. No, if we are doing it right, number one, truth always attacks error. Good and evil are always in conflict. There is evil in our city. There are evil policies in our government. There are evil programs. You know, for our public schools in our area, I'm sure there's cities where they're worse, but for them to teach that man came from a monkey and wasn't created by God, that's evil. And when it comes down to it, that evil is going to assemble against your children. Why are we getting opposition? Because it's the nature of it. Evil hid inside David's own house. This is a difficult one when somebody inside your own home, your family, your flesh and blood came in the form of Absalom. See, there wasn't a Philistine David could not handle. The devil knew this. By the way, I made up my mind a long time ago. I did not want the devil to use me as an Absalom. And young people, that'd be good for you to covenant tonight. I'm not going to let the devil use me to hurt my mom and dad, to hurt my church. I'm not going to be one of these, I don't know if you're supposed to say idiot in the pulpit or not, these idiots who will get online and try and hurt the very place that created them. Absalom would have nothing without his father. See, it's one thing to be attacked by an enemy. It's another thing to be wounded by somebody you love. It's a lot easier to fight the Philistine than it is to fight your own flesh and blood. And when I said idiot, I had a loving heart when I said it. Absalom stole hearts, spread lies, and gathered a following. He rose up not just against the kingdom, but against his own father. That's a sobering thing that David had to accept. Well, let's have a problem with the kingdom. Well, who's the king of the kingdom? Mom and Dad, I don't have a problem with you. I just have a problem with the church. Well, then they have a problem with you. I don't have a problem with you. I have a problem with the pastor. Then they have a problem with you. You know, and this is a whole nother. I mean, it's a fascinating study how it applies to the real world today. Those mighty men didn't act like a lot of church members act sometimes. Absalom's problem is with David, not us. So if we just get rid of David, then we can have peace in the kingdom. No, there's something to those mighty men that say, if David goes, we're going. Enjoy your little kingdom, but when the light of Israel leaves it, you don't have much of a kingdom. Some of your deepest pains will not come from enemies, but from those who once sat at your table, who knew you, who benefited from your kindness. So, Pastor, why are you reminding us of this? Because I want you to understand, one, don't let God use you, or let the devil use you. Don't let evil use you in that way. Evil was a strategic advisor. Ahithophel, who we mentioned in our text, was David's counselor, his trusted friend. In the book of Psalms, David writes, "Yea, mine own familiar friend." He references, "had lifted up his heel against me." If you've read either Satan's Toolbox or Satan's Culture, I touch on this and there, where that, even in today's world, it's like, well, he sat at his table. If he's got an issue, there must be something to it. I know none of y'all have ever heard that before. Well, explain Ahithophel. I can explain Ahithophel. Ahithophel was bitter. See, Satan doesn't only recruit the wicked, he recruits the influential. Let me say to every staff member, every deacon, everybody in leadership, you are a prime target for evil to recruit you. Somebody who can do good, monumental good for the cause of Christ, evil can recruit to then do evil. This is a sobering message tonight, but we have to think about it because we're reminded that we're not ignorant of Satan's devices, but we sure do live ignorant of Satan's devices because we don't study the enemy. See, when God raises up a man, he raises up a church, the devil often raises up an Ahithophel. I said number one, everybody still with me? Evil surrounds the anointed, those with purpose. If God's given you purpose, and he has, evil is going to rise up around you to try and stop you. Evil strikes when God is advancing. Number two. David was not one to sit around and do nothing. David had the heart of a conqueror. If the battle was there, he was going to fight the battle. He was going to win the battle. David was not failing. He was thriving when evil rose up around him. David was at the height of his influence. The kingdom was united. The people were blessed. God was moving. And then suddenly evil assembled. Let me just remind us as a church, as we continue to make progress, the enemy attacks in seasons of progress. Can I say it like this? The devil doesn't waste ammunition on that which is not a threat. Evil assembles around obedience. Often when we get opposed by the wicked things of this world, we think we're doing something wrong. No, it's the opposite. It means we're doing something right. A church that is growing will face opposition. A pastor who stands will face criticism. A family trying to serve God will face conflict. A believer pursuing holiness will face temptation. All from obedience, And let me just say, though, as we think about evil striking when God is advancing, let me say evil always overplays its hand. Absalom was part of the evil in this part of his life, and he had heard the complaints of the people, and he had worked his plan, and he had recruited somebody who sat at his father's table. But he also died hanging by his hair. See, eventually, it is going to overplay its hand. See, what do you mean? Absalom overplayed his hand. He oversold his importance. He thought he could overtake the anointing of God. And when David left the throne and he fled, he thought, well, I'll just go take the throne. I'm going to win. I'm going to take over. And for a time, it looked like Absalom was winning and was going to win. So much so that, and I don't have time to go into it, that Ahithophel took Absalom and he defiled the name of David, defiled the house of David, made a mockery over it, and evil is winning. But you cannot overcome God's anointing. That's why when you feel like you're under the gun from the devil, and by the way, your laziness is not the devil attacking you. Well, he's really attacking me today. I didn't get out of bed till 2:30. Or maybe you just stayed in bed till 2:30. Well, you're not dealing with a stronghold. It's not the devil attacking you. It's you refusing to discipline yourself. But he does attack. And sometimes it seems like evil is winning. Absalom died hanging by his hair. Ahithophel hung himself when his counsel was no longer valued. Saul fell on his own sword. See, David did not have to deal with Absalom. You know why? Because God did. David did not have to deal with Ahithophel because God turned him over to his own mind, his own conscience, and he became of no value, so he hung himself. Saul fell on his own sword. Romans 8:31 reminds us, if God be for us, who could be against us? Let me say number three, evil surrounds to silence God's servants. This is a great lesson for us in this point here. Psalms 3:1 says, Lord, how are they increased that troubled me? While David was surrounded by thousands, he fled Jerusalem. But can I submit to you tonight that it was not the devil's will to kill David? He would have taken his life, but only to silence him. Only to stop him. And friend, this church, as long as we stay true to this book, as long as we're seeing souls saved, as long as we have a vision for the world, evil is going to assemble itself, and if we'll just be quiet, the opposition will go away. If we'll not take a stand, the opposition will go away. If we'll compromise, I could be the most popular person in the independent Baptist world if I was just compromised. If I would not cause the trouble, if I would not refuse to be owned, if I would, all these things in town, we could be the most popular people in the most popular places. But we would have to be quiet on some things. So you don't have to ever worry about your pastor going into politics. You don't ever have to worry about that. I don't have the stomach for it. I don't have the couth for it. To be in the politics today, there's some things you just got to be quiet about. But it'll surround, let me say this to you, evil will try to crush your confidence. Well, is this really the way we still need to be rearing our children? I mean, do we really need to have this program in our school? Do we really need to have this emphasis in our church? Does it really work? Well, absolutely it does, and evil will put pressure so we can lose our confidence in God, lose our confidence in the truth, lose our confidence in the right decisions that we've made. Imagine the voices in David's head that would say, God's done with you, there's no help for you. You're finished. Evil tries to paralyze your purpose. I don't know if you can sense it. I can sense the momentum in our church right now. I can sense it. I can feel it. We got some good momentum reaching people and people growing in their faith and growing in their Christian life and people being added to the church. I can feel it. I can sense it. So let's be on guard that when that momentum starts to get going, evil will assemble to stop the momentum. See, Absalom didn't just want David embarrassed. Absalom wanted him eliminated. He tries to paralyze the purpose. David had a purpose that was still not fulfilled. But let me just say that evil cannot outnumber the Almighty. See, Pastor, there's a lot more evil in this world than there are of us. Let's not forget that when we have God on our side. And by the way, let me say, Pastor, there's evil in the political world we need to fight. How about we just do what the church is commanded to do? I just had to be thinking this original thought the other day. That maybe God's powerful enough to raise up kings and set them down. Maybe God's powerful enough. You say, you really mean God can put somebody in the office as president and somebody in there as Biden? Somebody wicked, somebody good? You think God could do all that? Yeah. Based on what? Based on our righteousness. Based on our yielding to Him. A lot of people don't like that. It's Bible. The point I'm making is, let's let God do what only God can do, and let's do what we've been commanded to do. We've been commanded to rear another generation. We've been commanded to seek souls. We've been commanded to be holy and righteous and serve Him and give honor to Him. And if we do that, they can't outnumber the Almighty. Number four, and finally, I learned in homiletics, you don't say lastly because people think you're going to last. You say finally. That doesn't mean anything either, but when evil assembles, God anoints afresh. Psalms chapter 23, that great chapter, verse 5 says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the absence of mine enemies." Is that what it says? "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." My thinking has changed that when the enemies assemble, we're about to get to eat. That's what he says. That's what David writes. "In the midst of the enemies, you prepared me a table so that I might eat in the presence of the enemies." See, a lot of times, God's people say, we just need to lay back until the opposition is gone. Lay back until the devil stops fighting. Well, friend, that's the whole point of him fighting. And it does not have to be a Republican world for God to bless His church. We don't have to have all the public schools reformed. That would be a great thing, but we don't have to have that for God to raise up a generation to turn a nation back to God. So when evil assembles, let's not look, it's not fun and there's opposition, but let's be reminded that's when God prepares a table in the presence. God doesn't remove the enemies, He reveals His anointing. He reveals His blessing. Man, how much has God blessed us? And the more the devil's fought us, the more God's blessed us. Boy, there's a testimony of this church that only God could do what God has done. I'm okay with that. See, God blesses you in front of those who doubt you. Since you got religion, really got into the church and said, we're going to change these things, and I'm going to change the way I live here, and I'm going to rear my kids this way. People scratch their head and say, I don't think that'll stick. Or don't you know it's 2025? See, there were those who doubted David, and God prepared a spread in their presence. Not after they apologized. See, God blessed while they watched. See, there's a lot, if I could just say this, there's a lot of churches through the years that have cut corners and made their compromises. There's a lot of preachers that used to preach for me. I used to preach for them. They made their compromises because it was easier, because evil assembled and said, you'll take this position. And say, oh, well, I don't want that. When things clear out a little bit, then, no. What has God done for the Emmanuel Baptist Church? He's prepared a table and said, hey, souls can still be saved. Lives can still be changed. As a matter of fact, there's more ministries for you to do. There's more lives for you to touch. God also uses evil to refine His servant. Anybody like the Psalms? You heard of those? Oh, when I'm feeling down, I go to the Psalms. That's a good practice. When I'm discouraged, I go to the Psalms. When I need encouragement, I go to the Psalms. Do you know most of the Psalms were written not on the mountaintops by David? But you find in the message of the Psalms, God doing a work in refining. If you are going to be the king, if you are going to do a great work, if you are going to teach that Sunday school class, if you are going to reach those children, if you are going to make a difference in your city, then you need to be refined. And when evil assembles against truth, I will use them. Yeah, I'll prepare a table in their presence, but I'll use them to refine you. Because let's just be honest. When we're in trouble, we pray more. When we're in trouble, we do more of it. What was that promise that God said? You know, when we really need something for God, we're in the parking lot before the doors are open and the lights are on. I got to get in there and get something. God uses it to refine us. Might I also say that God delivers. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. I don't know, I guess I'm just think different. I'm weird, I guess. I try and imagine what David must have been like. I don't think he was the biggest. He got overlooked. What a mighty warrior. I think when David just entered into a group of people, I think it just parted. Wasn't that way when he was a shepherd boy, because even his brother said, get back there to those sheep. But once it was revealed that he had the touch of God on him, when David entered a room, or David entered a cave, which is much of his life, everybody knew who the king was. Everybody knew who he was. What a strong man. Might I submit to you tonight, David didn't survive because he was strong. Because if that was why he survived, then those of us who say, well, I'm not strong, we would just discount everything God did in David's life. He did not survive because he was strong. He survived because God was sovereign. Because God was faithful. Because when God made a promise, God intends to keep it. It's not your strength that we stand on. It's not our strength even we stand on. It's His strength that we stand on. He didn't overcome because He was perfect. But He overcame because God was always present. See, I hope we get the gist of what I'm trying to bring across. Sometimes your mind, believe it or not, I try not to give you too much. Some of you are like, You ought to see what I trimmed down. But David teaches us that evil surrounds whatever God is blessing and God is raising up. I have to make sure I'm very aware of this, because he'd love to stop this church. He'd love to stop this church because of the souls that are going to be saved. But I don't know who's in that nursery over there. You say, Pastor, did they not tell you? Well, you know what I mean. I probably shouldn't share this, but I'm going to. I was over there before, and I like to stop by and see all the kids over there. And I spent a little bit more time with the one Jack's in. I was in there a little bit. But I went over to the other one, and it was like, Pastor, and one little boy, I'm not going to say who, was like, I went potty. What a monumental event we celebrated over there. Then I have to remind myself, that kid, God could use to even be the pastor of this church. I almost went home. We don't know what God's going to do. We're just called to stand on the truth, preach the truth, love people, try and reach people, try and help people not stray. And when evil is sin, it's not always going to be an easy street. It's not always going to be easy. In fact, it's always going to be the hard way. We're going to have to fast and pray and sacrifice and overcome and take two steps forward and get pushed back a step and go again for God, because there's going to be opposition because of what God is doing, because what God is trying to do. But we've learned this, not just from the scripture, but in our own lives and testimony of this church, that if we'll just show up, God will keep showing up. And when it looks bleak and you don't know what you're going to do and how's God going to work through this, He always prepares that table, doesn't He? See, evil surrounded the shepherd, surrounded the giant killer, surrounded the king, surrounded the psalmist, surrounded the man after God's own heart. But evil never stopped God's purpose. What about you tonight? What about you individually, as a family, as a church? If evil is assembling, if attacks are intensifying, if darkness is circling, it's not the time for you to quit and to give up. Because that might be the clearest sign. Why is God fighting? Why is the devil fighting my home so much? If that little boy who can't even keep his room clean, if God doesn't have something for him, why is the devil fighting our church so much? I don't get nervous when he's fighting. I get nervous when he's not. And some of you may leave the church after this. If I feel like he's not messing with us, it's like, we got to start something else. Not because I'm picking a fight, but because if God is blessing, because I don't want to fight. And by the way, that's foolish to think that we can combat the evil that is Satan. We can't combat that. Only God is able and powerful. But I do know this, that if God is going to bless the people, there's nothing the opposition can do about it. God is going to bless them. But when we receive the blessings of God, that's when we get the attention. I had this thought as I was studying and reading and with the life of David. How many times, it's an interesting study, how many times there's mention that surrounded. But then you think of God, and I think of Elisha and that servant, and the enemy army came, and it was just Elisha and his servant, and basically the servant's like, why aren't you nervous? And he said, because those that have surrounded us, and I'm paraphrasing, those that have surrounded us are surrounded. And of course, he thought the old prophet was nuts. And then he said, Lord, open his eyes. And he saw the armies of God. Those spiritual beings that God had sent. Standing ready. Think about that. There's been many times that I felt like, well, the evil is just really assembled. God has not allowed us to see it, but I wonder how many times around our church there's God's army. So you can't get any closer. You can get on your keyboard in your mama's basement and say what you're going to say, but I'm not letting you get any closer than that. That's as close as you're ever going to get. The Bible tells us that the devil is a roaring lion. He's loud. He roars. But God protects his people. This is just kind of a message just to remind us of some things and to get us ready for what may or may not be coming in the future. But I do believe that God is gearing us up to do more for him. And when we do more for him, it gets heaven's attention. When souls are saved, I still believe heaven stops and rejoices. I believe God says, the heavenly construction crew has got to build another mansion. And heaven rejoices. And then when it's a continual, man, that church down there sure bringing a lot of joy to heaven. Bringing a lot of honor to our Savior. It gets heaven's attention. But there's one thing I believe to be true. Whatever gets heaven's attention gets hell's attention. And that's where some Christians, that's what some Christians shrink from. But if we would put on the armor of God, we'd take that shield of faith, we would stand where he tells us to stand. Hey, if you're going through it tonight, if you feel like, Pastor, I've surrendered, I'm trying to serve God, I'm doing things, and it just feels like everything is against me. You just keep doing what you know you're supposed to be doing. David had to leave his throne. But David got his throne back. And it's not just David's throne that he sat on. One day Jesus is going to sit on that throne. Absalom doesn't get to say who sits on the throne. God does. Absalom doesn't get to say who's the pastor of the church. Absalom doesn't get to say who's the Sunday school teacher. Absalom doesn't get to say any of that. God does. And God is in control. So mom, dad, you keep rearing your children the way God wants you to. Well, sometimes it feels like I'm all by myself. Well, have you seen your child? There's nobody wants to get involved in that. By the way, they're your child. Pastor, I can't do anything with them. Why are you bringing them to me? Have you seen my children? Oh, it's like mother-in-law coming to the son-in-law saying, let me give you some advice on how to rear your children. And it's like, sorry, lady, I've seen your handiwork. I don't think... I have to be careful telling mother-in-law. My wife has told me it was funny when it was just about my mom, but now that I'm a mother-in-law, you can't tell those jokes anymore. So once a week, Colin and I get together and I say, I got a good one. He says, me too. Don't tell. Hey, let's just keep serving God. Keep serving God. So, Pastor, it's hard. You know how important it is? That's why it's hard. You know, I've come as I've been in the ministry long enough. I'll be turning 52 soon. I've been at this thing a little bit. And the reason why a lot of men don't do what we're trying to do is because it's hard. And sometimes I say to people, well, they should be just saying, no, have a little bit of grace on a pastor. It's hard to lead. It's hard to battle. Hey, that's why we shouldn't be critical of one another. We ought to be praying for one another. Well, I don't think I would do. It's hard. It's hard. Let's pray for one another, cheer for one another. And if you feel like you're under it tonight, don't quit. Don't give up. Don't give in. Just one more day, serve God. One more day, just keep going. Well, when is it going to stop? Can I help you tonight? Let me remind you, Psalms 23. He didn't say that you'll see the evidence of the blessing when all the opposition is gone. He said, I can bless you right in the middle of it. And that might be good for us to do as the service closes. Just take inventory of the good that God does for us in the midst of fighting a spiritual battle. The blessings God gives us in the midst of a spiritual battle. God's good to us. God is good to us. And by the way, young people, listen to me. Young Christian, listen to me. The devil can offer you a buffet, and it's not fulfilling. There's nothing like sitting at the table that God prepares. Oh, but the devil is this fancy, and the devil is popular, and the devil, it's a big banquet. Well, God is big enough that in the midst of your battle, in the midst of your valley, in the midst of the evil around you, He can say, no, this looks like a good spot. I can feed you right here. And everybody will know that you're eating at my table. And that's the dilemma evil has, because they'll try and take away the good things. They'll try and take away what God's given you. And God says, you don't have to have it where you thought you had it. You just have to have me. Because I can set up a table in the valley. I can set up a table in the midst of your enemies. I can set it up. You can get that peace, and you can get that joy, and you can get that sustaining in the valley. One of the most beautiful places, and God's allowed me to travel this planet. He's allowed me to go to tropical places. He's allowed me to go to Hawaii, and Lord willing, my wife and I are going on that Alaska cruise you gave us. I think it was like 8 years ago. I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. I've seen some beautiful places. One of the most beautiful places I've seen is in a place of sorrow. It's a place of exile. Some of you have been there too. A place called En Gedi. Outside the Dead Sea, where David fled from Saul. And on the outside is a rocky, mountainous. But if you wind back there, some of the most beautiful waterfalls you've ever seen in your life. Beautiful. You know, and it's kind of a sobering thought as you stand there and say, I wonder if David ever communed with God at this spot. See, God can give you that blessing. God can give you that joy. God can give you that peace, even when you're in exile. Even when you seem like you need refuge, God is that refuge. Father, help us tonight. May we look to You.